And right now we are talking about David Griggs, who is well known for his bold and anarchistic approach to painting. His work uses psychedelic visuals to explore the underbelly of society and the human condition, which we all struggle to fathom. Griggs has exhibited extensively throughout Australia and Southeast Asia, working across painting, video and installation. And I'm joined by David this morning to chat a little bit more about his upcoming solo exhibition entitled Mankini Island. Good morning.
Morning.
So I think a fitting place to start is with the title Mankini Island. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
You know, it's comedy. It's sort of a... Well, I was just chatting outside about, you know, I've been back in Australia for 2 years and how... You know, I was away for 10, so the idea of what I remember Australia being sort of had shifted somewhat, you know, in many ways. And I just sort of thought, wow, like, how do I fit here? What's going on? And I sort of just thought about our culture as a, you know, what would be the ideal Australia sort of thing. And this idea of getting away the sort of bit of the nanny state stuff that everyone goes on about and just having a bit more freedom and just not having this sense of, not fear, but a sense of worry that I'm doing something wrong or what's happening. Should I look this way? Should I look that way? What's the deal? And I just thought, Mankini Island, sort of like a weird metaphor for my version of Australia, right?
Yeah. Had this idea of, you know, Australian identity and Australiana been something that you'd been motivated to express or explore before you'd been away? Or is this kind of a new direction in your practice?
I've toyed with it on and off, usually within the realm of sort of Australian art history. And I usually would find myself doing that when I had no ideas, actually. It's like, oh, I don't really know what direction I'm going to take, so let's just focus on what you seem to know best, right? So some of the Australiana stuff does creep in and has creeped in, but it was sort of when I'm at a loose end.
And so speaking more specifically about what works you've presented in this exhibition, what form do they take?
Yeah, I mean, it's a straight up painting show with one very large sculpture. And yeah, I mean, I'm predominantly a painter and I just, yeah, I really like scale and just sort of, I mean, the Mankini Island thing is sort of like the catalyst or like a way to start thinking about the paintings, but they're not in a sense completely referencing the title. You know, I'm just interested in painting that's like a mood, a gesture, a feeling that in a sense is like portraiture without the face, you know. Yeah. So you're feeling yourself / the viewer would be feeling an emotion, you know, which is just basically going to come through color, gesture, form, texture, the traditions of painting, but you do it on such a large scale that you're immersed in it, you know.
Have you always worked with such a large scale?
Yeah, I've always been comfortable with it. I don't know. I think when I was young, you know, I went to Mexico City and I was seeing all the, you know, Diego Rivera murals and I just sort of like, it just, you know, most people are like in awe. I mean, yeah, completely in awe. But for me, it felt like that's the normal way to paint, right? Like not stylistically, but the scale was something I really connected with. So, you know, I just thought, well, let's give it a shot. And so for many years, that's my comfort zone is large scale, yeah.
And your work is often laden with metaphorical codes. What kind of messages are you sending with this exhibition?
With this exhibition, there's no real messages. It's more of a internal exploration, if you want to put it that way, but not so much an exploration within oneself sort of, you know, say on the spiritual level, more as a exploration into painting as a medium, you know, because over the years I've dealt so much with imagery and concepts and dealing with this or that that may or may not be in a political realm or social realm. And I just, the last year or two, I've started to, like, you know, like in a way making paintings that are more abstract and more, just, yeah, like I said, dealing with color, to create a mood. In a way, to me, that seems quite a radical move at the moment because everyone's so literal with their references.
Yeah, so I guess that bleeds into the kind of psychedelic imagery that comes up a lot in your work. So is that also part of this shift away from the literal?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I've always been fascinated with, you know, 60s imagery. I always felt like I should have been, you know, in my 20s in the 60s. I just felt like, you know, just, I don't know, you know, there was a lot going on. And I'm just drawn to that imagery. And one of the streets I lived when I was abroad in Philippines, in Manila, was historically, you know, like one of the bohemian streets for artists. And so there was this connection with the studio I had at the time and this historical artist precinct in the Philippines. And I thought, oh, let's just imagine, like, I'm in this precinct during the 60s or 70s. So I started developing a language that completely wasn't anything to do with, say, in a sense, my contemporary culture or understanding of myself. But I was just fascinated, you know, just with the sort of metaphysical sense of using colour, you know.
So we've spoken a lot about the paintings that are in Mankini Island, but you did mention that there's one rather large sculpture. What's that about?
Well, that's it's sort of a sculpture I've wanted to do for many years, but to be honest, I always put it off because it just felt like such a chore.
A large sculpture, yeah.
Yeah, and so I mean, if you know some of my earlier work, I had this repetitive imagery that I'd used a lot in my paintings that was a skull wearing a cowboy hat with a bandana, you know, and I did many in this series, which is my gay skull cowboy. So it was sort of this, it was a comment on, you know, culture and a few things and playing with a sort of parody on, say, like a Sidney Nolan style cowboy, you know, like, or Anzac or something. Just toying with, again, the Australiana. And there was something about the figure, the face of that, the features of that, that became sort of iconic without me realizing it. And I thought, oh, it'd be amazing to make a huge version of that, like a, you know, including the body, the arms, the legs, the, not just the face. But I wanted to make it out of recycled material because I, you know, the idea of, you know, just the environment and, you know, trying to do the right,
general terribleness,
trying to do the right thing. And yeah, so it took me a month. And because I wanted a sort of raw aesthetic, I only used a handsaw.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it was one of those things. I knew once I start, it's going to be a journey of just cutting wood. So yeah, it turned out pretty much how I imagined. And it was, yeah, it was very physical. And it was my 1 month in the studio where I completely felt like a tradie, you know? Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us on the show this morning. It was a pleasure to hear all about the show.
Thank you.
So-